What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Loud Spot. I'm your host, Sebastian, hanging out with Travis from a band called Nine Left Dead. Here we go. All right, Travis, dude, look, let me tell you something, man. I don't talk to a lot of bands from Oklahoma, okay? I just don't. Yeah. You guys are from Oklahoma. You're about, 30 minutes up the road from me. And do you guys live in Chickasha or Amber, Oklahoma, or?
Used to live in Amber, but I'm in Chickasha now, so.
I feel like Amber, Oklahoma is one of those towns where, like, when the tornadoes are going off and the news comes on, they say one of those towns, and I'm like, oh, I never heard of that town before. I feel like that's Amber, Oklahoma, right?
That's Amber. That's Amber. We're the people out there in the lawn chairs watching the tornadoes go by.
Where is Amber? How far are you from Oklahoma City?
What are we, like, maybe 20 minutes? Yeah.
So not far, just like towards Chickasha, I guess, right?
Literally in between Tuttle and Chickasha. It's like those towns, if you speed through, you get pulled over. And if not, you'll see a gas station and that's it.
How the fuck do you get a rock band in Amber, Oklahoma and find other people? Because population is like what, fucking a few hundred, maybe 1,000?
Yeah, it's low. It's low.
So when you decided to, because you're, I would assume you're kind of the head leader or singer, songwriter, main person of Nine Left Dead. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, I started it all, me and actually my cousin. So that made it kind of easy because we both lived around that area. So yeah, wasn't very big selection of people to pick from. And it just kind of worked out to where we met some people and we had to branch out. We got some guys that came out of the city in different areas. And that's been kind of the saving grace of it, because there's about three musicians from Amber. That's about it.
Dude, it has to be hard being from a small town. Like I live in Yukon, Oklahoma. I say Oklahoma City because, you know, pretty much Oklahoma City. But being from, you know, from a small town in Oklahoma, or a small town really anywhere you live, it's kind of hard to find musicians to play music with you. And not only that, like, you could find them, but they may not be good.
Right. Yeah. And that was kind of the headache there was we're trying to, you know, I have big dreams trying to make it to the next level. And it's like, I mean, I'm glad you know all these country covers, but that's not going to help us get to where I want to go, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
I'm not trying to stand at the bar and play covers anymore, guys.
Yeah. And one thing I noticed, and, you know, I'm happy I get to talk to you in Oklahoma because I get to kind of, you know, air my dirty laundry about things I want to say. Okay. In Oklahoma, if you are not a cover band, it is so hard to get shows.
Yeah.
You know, like, see, Hinder did it. Hinder did it. They're from Oklahoma. Right. They did it. But for the most part, it's fucking hard, man. If you're not doing cover songs, it's like, nope, we don't want you to play at our, like, no one knows your music. Don't play at our gig. So how hard is it for you guys to get shows with doing your own music and not cover songs?
It's hard to make money at playing shows when you're not a cover band, but we do pretty well on getting shows because we put our years in, took our licks, and, you know, established our sound. And so we're pretty hooked up with some promoters that help us stay to where we're at least doing a show here and there, you know, like once or twice a month on like major national bands coming through as openers and stuff, which, you know, we take what we can get because we get to play to our fan base that comes out, but we get to steal their fan base as they bring them, you know, because they're not coming to see us. 90% of the people that are there, they're coming to watch the bands that are coming from national level. And then they hear about us, or if they've heard of us, they don't really know if we're good or not. And then they catch us and like, shit, you guys are the real deal, you know? So that's what we take advantage of, you know?
No one gives a fuck about the opening band, dude. They should give a fuck though about the opening band. They need to. So here's what I ask you, man. You guys sound good. So there was a guy, I was in Chickasha about a month ago, I guess, maybe 3 weeks ago, a month ago. I hit you up probably about a month or so. Yep. There was a guy named Lenny, okay, that I met. Yep. And we were talking about music, and he was like, yeah, check out this band called Nine Left Dead. He showed me you guys' music. I was like, dude, let's get him on the podcast. And you know what? You guys have been around for quite a while. Now, the band did break up for a little bit. So tell me the story about the band breakup, coming back together, same members, not same members, same music, not same music. What's going on? And the name Nine Left Dead. Is that your
question?
I know. Well, I normally don't give a fuck like why someone names their band name what they named them, because it's not right. Nothing. It's just like a cool name, you know, or right. Somebody either that or somebody makes up some bullshit story that I don't care
that's,
about.
That's what a lot of it is bullshit stories. But this one is a bit reasoning. I'll get to that. But as far as the band, like, you know, we got out there, we were touring, we were doing the national thing, and that's when we had started. We won a battle of the bands here. And part of what we won was to get to go in and record with Cody Hansen, the drummer from Hinder. So we got to go in and write a song. The song we wrote like blew up overnight. And it was literally a couple days later, we got the offer to play Catfest, which is our big festival here. And then like right after we played that night, Cody had hit us up about signing us to manage us. And the reason was because we'd already been reached out to by Warner for a record deal because they heard that one song. So then we went and did the album with Cody. And that's when we started touring, but it took a rough road, you know, like we had guys that just weren't ready to do the work and they wanted to get out and party and do stuff, which, you know, you could do as a rock star, but not as an up and coming band. And they didn't put in the work. So we failed. And then the sub label that we were on, which was Dirtbag at the time, they kind of backed us around and we actually had some bad stuff going with them. So between that, the bad taste of the band members not in the work, and then stuff kind of, they weren't going to release the second single. And so we took a break and I just got burnt out. And I was like, I had to step away. I was burnt. I didn't want to do it anymore. So I was kind of quitting forever. But
what people don't realize is when you're in a band, you got to take it as a business.
It is a business.
You can party like a rock star, whatever. This ain't fucking 1965 anymore, 1970. Right. You know, when you're in a band nowadays, it's literally a business and you can't just party. You have to practice and push content out there. And you have to form like a business plan. And so you were signed to a record label called Dirtbag, right?
Right.
And you're no longer signed to them.
Correct. Yeah.
Because they suck dick.
they got some good guys that are still doing the clothing company. Those guys are awesome. The one guy kind of
is it Dirtbag Clothing? Is that the name of their? Okay. Yeah. You know what?
They were a label at the time, but the label is no longer. And the guy that took over the clothing was actually one of the guys that was doing a little bit of both. He's a good dude, John, but the guy that was in charge of doing the stuff we were for the label, he hosed us pretty bad on some stuff.
I've seen them because I do the podcast, talk to a bunch of bands, and I've seen Dirtbag Clothing here and there. They sponsor some other podcasters.
Yeah.
They never hit me up, you know?
Yeah.
But you know what? Fuck them. I don't care. Catfest, right? It's Oklahoma thing. Dude,
right.
Fuck the cat. Dude, like the whole radio station is bullshit. I met one of their and I'm sorry, dude, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You know, one of the guys from the cat, I met him at some concert recently with a band called Hyperdose. He's a fucking piece of shit pussy, dude. Like he's a corporate one of those guys that just is a big college corporate dude who works for the radio station. I'm like, man, what happened to like being on radio and just being who you want to be? You can't do that anymore.
You can't do that with any radio stations because they're all owned by the same major company, which sucks. And it's actually been a disadvantage for bands that are up and coming because that's when you get on radios, you get played. Luckily, as evil as social media can be, that's actually been so beneficial for bands getting their content out because there's so many people that are just bored and they're just scrolling all the time. So now you get to put these reels and clips and songs. But it's also changed the game because now you don't really release albums like we're doing one now just because we're trying to upgrade our content. But after we get done with this album, it's going to be releasing singles because that's the name of the game now. Because people
are
in it for the albums. They don't buy albums. They buy singles, you know?
Dude, if you ever listen to my podcast after this, I talk about that all the time. Bands don't release albums anymore. They release singles. And releasing singles is kind of the way to do it because that's the name of the industry's changed so much. I mean, I assume you're probably similar in age to me.
I watched that podcast you talked about this in, actually.
Yeah, so I mean, I talk about it all the time, man. I talk about it all the time. One thing I do want to say is 9 Left Dead. I asked you earlier, I called you. I said, is it spelt out 9 or is it the number 9? And you're like, whatever you want. You're like, whatever you want. No, I'm no fucking manager or record label or whatever. I would say this. Stay consistent. Either number 9 or spelt out 9. Personally, I like both of them, but you got to pick one because when people look you up, they're going to want to see exactly what, you know, what exactly how it's spelled. Cause if they spell the number nine or they put the number nine, they might get something different if another band arises with a similar name.
Right. You're right. That's something definitely we've thought about before. And it's definitely something we got to get figured out and work on. Cause, but it, one of the big things we ran into was the social media content. It was, we had some stuff that got locked by the label, so we couldn't use the one we were using, which was all linked to the same name. So we had to go back and start revamping some of the stuff with like the number nine instead of the spelled out nine. So it's kind of
dirt bag.
Yeah.
Dirt bags over there, anyways, man. Okay, you have a song. So you have a song called "Bad Girl," right?
Yep.
This song came out what, fucking 7 years ago.
Yeah, a little longer than that, I think.
Okay, longer than that. Now, yeah. You did send me some of your newer stuff, which is fucking fantastic. I got it on my text message. We're not going to be able to play that.
Right, it's not ready.
Okay, it's not ready, but we are going to play Bad Girl. Now, this was when you were signed by Dirtbag.
Yep, that was the album we went out and toured on, was the Wrong Things album.
All right, so why don't you just sit there and relax for about 3.5 minutes while we play this, song. Dude, this song is dope, dude. This song is so good. You almost have, in this particular song, I've compared you to other bands before, this particular song kind of reminds me of Hollywood Undead-ish.
Yeah.
Like with your own spin, like a little, not a country spin, but you can tell you from, because I live in Oklahoma, I can tell you.
Yeah,
it's like an Oklahoma Hollywood Undead style, right? Okay.
Exactly.
Let's check it out. Here we go. Let me take the overlay off and check out Bad Girl by Nine Left Dead. Here we go. Dude, you know what? That's also a little Bloodhound Gangy. It's like if Hollywood and Dead met Bloodhound Gang, That would be kind of that song, man.
Yeah, one day off the air, I'll tell you a funny story about the Bloodhound Gang song.
Just tell it on the air. Tell it on the air.
I can't.
Come on, dude. You can't say that funny story and not say it. Dude, the craziest stories are best on podcasts.
I'll bring the other member on here, and he's got to tell you the story because I can't single him out. That way it's his fault, not
mine. We'll make it a special episode. Make a special episode.
That's right. We'll do that.
I want to go with this, man. I saw you guys advertise. I followed you guys on Facebook after I found out who the band was. Great music, good sound, local to Oklahoma. You have that really good – I kind of like that rock with – you don't have a country twist at all to it, but it definitely has a little bit of maybe Red Dirt, or there's definitely an Oklahoma sound to it, right?
For sure.
You guys were going to – I don't know if you did or not. I know we talked about it earlier. I don't remember. I've been drinking all day, right? So there was a show you guys were going to do with Tommy Vexed.
Yeah.
Did that show ever happen?
It got canceled. It was actually supposed to be yesterday, and he had some vocal issues going on. But we actually got another big one coming up, though, September 16th, and that's going to be in Chickasha, Oklahoma. We're opening up for Saliva up there.
No shit, dude.
Yeah, he's coming out, bro.
I will go to. When is it?
September 16th. I'll get you some tickets.
So my birthday is September 8th, so it's shortly after that.
Birthday celebration.
Is that a weekend, or is that?
It's a Friday night.
In Chickasha. So
yeah, been there, right?
Why is Saliva playing in Chickasha, Oklahoma? Dude,
so there's a bar there, a venue now, that this guy's been dumping money into, and it's epic. It's probably as good, if not better, than some of the Oklahoma City venues. It's called Legends, and he's just doing it right, man. He's bringing in the right bands, and he's setting up the better local style bands that, you know, have worked their asses off to get to where they're at, and he's putting on these badass shows. He's just doing it right, and the venue's awesome. Spectacular.
Is Josie still their singer?
No, so he's actually got a few shows scheduled with him, but Bobby's the one singing from now, but he's just epic. We played a show with him recently at the Honeymoon Fest, that big festival they did in Oklahoma City. They impressed me because I've always been a big Saliva fan, and yeah, Josie always did. Oh, but
what's that clip?
Bobby can rock too, dude.
I'm coming down on the stereo, yeah. Baby, yeah. On the radio, whatever the fuck. Dude, but that was like early 2000s, right? And they've had some other songs since then. Are they still kicking? Dude, you know what? How hard, like, okay, so changing the subject from Nine Left Dead to something like this, okay? Let's say your band, Saliva, right? Big, huge band, early 2000s. And now you're like, no one that's like 16 knows who you are, you know, because yeah. They're like mumble rap and shit like that, right?
Right.
And then you get a new singer. Now, and it's especially after a new singer, is your band still relevant? Like, do you still make enough money to not have another job? What do you think?
I can't answer that quickly. I know the answer to that because we were just talking about this stuff the other day. It's kind of so funny to think about it. So you got to think about there's this specific target age group that's out there. And the reason why these bands like that and even us are having so much success still playing music is because those are the people that were responsible and like taught how to live right as a kid. So now we've all grown up, we've got jobs and they can afford to pay for shit like that and go to concerts. So that's what all these people are doing. That's what they do with their downtime. Their kids are all gone to college or married or whatever. So now they're taking all their money and they're spending it going to concerts and buying up merch and shit. So yeah, I think it's definitely doable. You just got to make sure you're still sticking to what created you and made you that big, because those people want to hear, you know, is what that's still the music they're into, you know. Now they've got the money to spend on it because they're adults with jobs.
So you don't think that anyone from Saliva also works at Walmart?
Not that I'm aware of. I actually know one of the guys is running a management company on his little side project. So he's actually helping bands get out there and be successful.
That's what bands do, you know. That's if you're in a band and you're smart, you could get one big lick, one big hit, but you don't know if you're going to get another big hit, right? You don't know.
Right.
And my recommendation, and don't take it from me, like I'm fucking no one, you know, who gives a fuck about what I think, but I would suggest taking your money and investing it in something else, whether a label or even not in the music industry, some other something else. So you secure your future, because you just don't know. Like, bands could make it big and then all of a sudden have nothing anymore. All right.
Or pandemic. Look at pandemic, you know?
Yeah. That shut bands down. It fucked bands up, man.
Yeah. Especially the guys who do the backstage work, you know, like those guys had to come off and try to figure out how to get jobs on something they don't really know how to do because they've been doing that stuff for so long. And who would have thought it would just disappear like that, you know?
Dude, that's why I started a podcast. I was like, these fucking bands ain't doing nothing anymore. They'll talk to me, though, on a show.
Yeah.
Y'all get famous doing it. Of course, I did not get famous doing it. No, I was like, you know, there was a hole to fill there, and that's actually not why I did it. I just happened to kind of – bands were not touring, and now that they are touring again, luckily I'm big enough to talk to a lot of really decent-sized bands. Just because I've been doing it for so long. While they couldn't tour, you know, they were happy to talk to anyone. There was actually a thing called podcast tours.
Right.
Which is kind of still like no one listens. Like I don't even listen to podcasts.
I listen to murder sometimes. I listen to murder podcasts. That's a lot of what I listen to. I know it's weird, but
oh, like the murder, like true crime type shit.
Right. Yeah.
Well, those are interesting.
Yeah.
Those are actually interesting. You know,
a lot of them are interesting. It's just, I mean, it's not really a concept you think to stop and do. Like, hey, stop and listen to this podcast. Like when you do and you actually start getting dove into them, it's a lot of interesting. It's crazy. You can sit there and listen to an hour conversation between two guys and it's intriguing, you know, because you're learning stuff. And
yeah, dude.
You know,
I don't listen to podcasts, and I listen only mine every now and again just because I don't know. I don't even like the way I sound. But I do it just because it's my own show. I'm like, I'll listen to it. Does it suck? Yeah, I fucking suck. Whatever. Okay, let's talk about your new songs coming out. Okay, you sent me two songs. You did. What are they called?
Peak Soft and They Made Me Do It.
Okay, so when are those? Do you know when those are set to be released? And before you even answer that, do you plan on making music videos? Because I feel music videos are a really big thing. Even though MTV's not there anymore, YouTube has taken over music videos.
Dude, that's what I literally... So we have like these band meetings and we talk about all this stuff. And which, by the way, we're all new members besides me. You asked that earlier, but...
Yeah.
So these guys are business minded.
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference. And so that's what we talk about. I was like, dude, you got to realize this stuff's kind of weird, but it's coming back around like it does with everything. It's like now people are buying albums. They're not listening to them because nobody has CD players, but they're still buying them and they're buying records. Yep. And music videos are huge again. People will watch videos even if it's a band standing in a room singing and dancing, you know, which I want to do like kind of like Falling in Reverse, bands like that where they make actual like storytelling videos. Like I love those. And that's kind of what we're going to do. And we are going to do it. And the songs, we're literally trying to get those out as soon as possible. Those two and one more for the first three off the album. And the album, we had a little bit of setback because we had some issues with some members. And so we kind of changed the drummer around a little bit and we're shopping in a new one. Right now we got a guy filling in that's our guitarist, but he's a badass drummer too. So we're working really hard on the album. We're hoping to have it for sure out by the end of the year, if not sooner, is our goal. It's just we want to make it right, you know?
What's your plan as a band? You guys have been together. Okay, here's a kind of a tough question. You guys have been together for what? The band's... Okay, Nine Left Dead has technically been a band for about a decade or so, right? Or maybe longer, okay?
Yep.
All new members now. You're the only consistent member of the band. You're the singer, songwriter. You have another, singer, guitar player that plays with you. You also play guitar. What's the goal of your band? You are no longer 25 years old, right?
Right. Yeah, hell no.
Do you think... that where you're going and what you're doing, your band could eventually make enough money where you just do your band as a living. Like, is that a goal still for you?
That's our ultimate goal. Yeah, for sure. It's just good. At the same time, we're doing it in a smart way to where we're not just jumping out there and touring and losing money. We're trying to branch out. Obviously we play a lot of local. Next year we're diving in hardcore to regional because we've already started expanding our following. Like, as far as our streams, it's crazy. They're, like, all over the United States. We're actually out of the country quite a bit in different places. We're not to the point where we can afford to do that, but our goal is to do it, make smart moves to where if we go out and make a run, go out on a weekend right now, balancing work and real jobs, you know, or if we can take off vacation together, go run a week, it's just got to make sense that it's at least gotten close to balancing out what it costs us. Even if we don't make money on it, our biggest thing right now is to grow our fan base. So we're doing that financial move to where we're growing what our following is so that eventually – when we go out and make a run, we're coming back and made money. So, yeah, I think it's possible, and it's definitely our goal. We just got to do it in a smart financial way because, again, we're not that age. So we're taking care of things that we've established in life, like houses and bills and all that unfortunate crap, you know, but it's good to have, you know.
Dude, you know, I like your answer to that. I asked the band a similar question to what I just asked you, and they were like, nah, man, we're just doing this as a hobby. I'm like, why the fuck are you on my podcast? Like, if you're not trying to grow your shit, don't even fucking talk to me, dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's awesome, dude. You know what? I literally wish you guys the best of luck. You guys sound like your new songs that you texted, I know they're unfinished, but you could tell there's a lot going on there. And that song with Bad Girl, I like the way it kind of like your cadence. It's almost, it's not rappy, but there's a little bit of rappiness to it. Most of your songs aren't really like that, though.
Now they're a little more melodic. And with Brad, the other singer, we dive into some harmonies now that I actually had never planned or dreamed we could actually get into. And we've had to learn each other, like the way we sing and our vocal stuff over the last year.
Where'd you find him at? Chickasha?
Man, so him and I are both working, building power lines. That's what we do for a living.
A worker. You met him at work.
Yeah, it's literally, and we don't work at the same spot no more, but we you know, we're still like best of buds. And so it's just, man, he came over to record a country song because the dude has a country voice. And he's like, I hate country music, man. I fucking hate it. I was like, well, how about let's try some rock and roll, man. And he's like, that's been my dream. I was like, I'll fuck set you up. So we just started kicking it in. It's just been amazing, dude. He actually probably has a better voice than I do, but together it's just magic, man. Like, we were all singing together.
Why did you keep the name Nine Left Dead when it's pretty much a whole brand new band? Like, why don't you just start a whole brand new band? Did you have like a following? You're like, ah, fuck it, we'll just keep the same name. Is that the reason why you like name that much?
It's a little bit of both, because the name was mine to begin with. When we were about to get signed, we were actually called Harmful Swallowed, but there was a band out of California using it, so we got a cease and desist. So they wanted to use this name because it was my side project. Nine's always been my sports number. Left Dead was kind of what I felt like because I actually was going through cancer and stuff. And so I felt like I was kind of left for dead, kind of like a spiritual battle. And then later on, like you start looking at the number nine, it actually has a numerical meaning about going through trials and tribulations and starting new beginnings. So I couldn't get rid of the name, dude. It's a part of me. And we did have a following from it still.
I do want to ask this because I'm a podcaster, right? What kind of like the cancer, what kind of, that you no longer have cancer anymore, I would assume.
Right. No, I had leukemia. I actually got it when I was like in the fifth grade. That's how I got into music. I didn't have shit to do. Nobody wanted to be around me because they thought I was contagious because they were small kids and didn't know better. So my cousin brought me a guitar. He's like, you want to borrow my guitar? I was like, yeah, fuck, got nothing else to do. I was tired of Nintendo. I played it like 12 hours a day. So jumped on the guitar and taught myself how to play.
Dude, that's an incredible story to have had cancer, beat it, and that's what got you into music, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those deals, like, if I went back in time, it's hard to say, like, I wouldn't want to go through that again, because it's made me really who I am. Even though, like, I have fucked up point of views, it's because of that, and it's, like, I don't take things for granted, and which we talked a little bit about, you know, like, I don't take shit for granted, you know. You don't know when your last day is, and that one, it took a year to figure out I had it, so I'd almost died anyways. I didn't have any use of my arms or my legs, and then went to a specialist. They figured it out in a day, started treating me. I went into remission pretty quick, but it was like a 3 or 4 year process where I was going through getting chemo every week. I had to stay in the hospital every other week for 3 to 5 days at a time. So, yeah, dude, I don't take shit for granted, and it's kind of why, like, I feel like I've been meant to play music. So I walked away from it one time feeling like I could give it up. But then I realized, man, like, I was born to do this shit. Like, even if it's at this level or another level, obviously my dream is to play it for a living. But if that works, it works. If it doesn't, I'm at least changing people's lives as much as I can in any situation I get the opportunity to, you know?
Dude, just from that story alone, I'll be in Chickasha next week and the week after. I may hit you up, may go out and get a drink or get some dinner or some lunch or something like that. That'd be a fun time. We're about to get off here. I do want you to stay there when I play the outro song, but I know you're either, was that your brother, your friend?
My brother, yeah.
let's say hi to him for 1 second.
Let's find him.
Only because I like his hair. Did he leave the truck?
No.
There he is. Hey, there he is. So. Are you guys in Chickasha right now?
Man, we're in between Chickasha and El Reno because we're headed to go party for my buddy's birthday. Kurt, he's one of our super fans, but also became basically a damn good friend from just hanging out at our shows and loving our music. So
Kurt, K-U-R-T?
K-E-R-T. If I misspell it, I'm sorry, Kurt. That's what I've been spelling on my phone.
Happy birthday to Kurt.
Yeah.
Somewhere between
El Reno.
Hey, birthday to Kurt in El Reno. Travis, dude, thank you so much. Stay right there. Do not leave the podcast till after the outro song plays, please. I do want to thank everyone who listens to our episode. Check us out on all podcasting platforms. That's all I got. Peace out. Rock on. Much love. And listen. Yeah, you're welcome. And listen to Nine Left Dead. Let's go. Here we go.
This is the Loud Spot outro by Nothing Short of Tragic.
Is this all talk with no action?
No.
Is this my thoughts with distraction?
No.
Is this what I bought that's in fashion? Or is this the Loud Spot with Sebastian?
Yes.
Does Nothing Short of Tragic have his back again?
Yes.
Does anything that's good really have to end?
Yes.
A pin post has a pin show, so to get more episodes, make an order. This is over.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.